Good afternoon, and thanks for the opportunity to be able to address the conference today. We really appreciate it. I know that a lot of you are big Microsoft customers in one way or another, and really appreciate the opportunity to come here and talk to you a little bit about what TD can be. I was talking with David Lariff just before the conference. He was telling me some of the questions that have popped up over the course of the last 3 days, and all I say to you is, I'm the marketing guy, so please be gentle toward the end. I understand it's a fairly technical audience. In terms of an agenda, kind of broke it out this way. We wanted to talk really about interactive TV and the opportunity of what TV can be. I thought we'd start by really defining how we look at the marketplace, because I think there's a lot of different definitions out there today. Look at how the TV landscape is changing, as well as value propositions and revenue opportunities for interactive TV. Talk a little bit about standards, spend a tiny bit of time on really what Microsoft's doing, because we have a couple of interesting things going on in this area, and then give you really a glimpse at the future, one way the future could evolve anyhow. So I bet if we asked 50 different people in this room, you know, how they define interactive TV, we'd probably get 49 different answers. So I wanted to really just kind of set the stage so everyone understands what we mean by interactive TV. And we see ITV as being made up of four primary components. The first I call enhanced TV, which is really enhancing that broadcast with data so that a consumer, a television viewer with the proper equipment can interact with that information in some way. The second big area of interactive TV is personal TV. So the ability to, from a viewer's perspective, really personalize that television experience, whether it's through things like custom program guides, setting up favorite channels, as well as capabilities like digital video recording, which we're seeing are really just becoming part of the fundamental TV experience and a feature of these new generation of set-top boxes. The third area is perhaps what Microsoft, through Web TV, is best known for, which is Internet on TV. And we do see Internet on TV as a core component of ITV, not so much for the fact that people are interested in browsing the web through their TV device, because the simple matter is, yes, there is a marketplace for that today. It's a relatively small market in the U.S. Most people, given the preference, and it's certainly if they have a PC in their home today, would rather browse the web through that PC device than the television necessarily. But where the Internet's really important in the ITV space is as an infrastructure on top of which we can add new capabilities, deliver new features, and deliver interactive programming itself. And then finally is a category that I call connected TV, which has two basic areas. The first is the TV and set-top box as the hub of a home network. Obviously a relatively small market today, but increasingly as consumers have a broadband cable or some broadband connection coming into that home, into a TV device, they want to be able to share that resource out to other devices in the home, the PC in the den, the TV in the bedroom, etc. So one part of connected TV is home networking. And the second part is illustrated by the icons here, which is really being able to connect up other devices such as digital camcorders, digital cameras, et cetera, Palm PCs, Pocket PCs rather, to that TV device and really share that as a resource. So again, those four categories is how we define the category of interactive TV. Now, of course, at the cornerstone of all this is convergence. And David and I were chatting earlier on this topic as well, and we decided that the real result of convergence is that it means we have to come to Vegas now three times a year instead of one, because we're representing all these different industries. But the reality is that in this world of information and consumers wanting to get access to the information and services they care about anytime, any place, and on any device, we're seeing that media, information, video, you know, initially audio, but ultimately we'll get to a point where video is being distributed rather seamlessly around the world to people so that I can get access to that information, whether I'm, you know, in my office on a PC, at home on a TV, in the back of a cab with a cell phone or what have you. So when we look at kind of the marketplace and the evolution of things. First of all, most importantly, there's about 1.5 billion TV sets in use today around the world. So when we talk about any device as part of that vision of anytime, anywhere, any device, obviously the TV is an incredibly important device for delivering information and entertainment to consumers. And needless to say, we see TV programming as really being at the fulcrum of this whole opportunity. You know, we have an opportunity now to really differentiate programming, to create new types of programming with associated new types of revenue streams. As the standards evolve, we'll be able to do that more and more easily, independent of the transports over which we're delivering that, whether it's cable, satellite, or terrestrial broadcast. And what it all really boils down to is that, as the equation here says, web technology plus broadband connectivity plus this low cost of silicon and technology today is really what's creating the interactive TV opportunity. I saw an interesting statistic about hard disk storage, for example, where in 1990, the cost for purchasing a hard disk big enough for storing a day's worth of programming was just under $500,000. In 19, or I should say today, by today's measurement, that cost is closer to $300. And by 2010, if the true cost curve continues as it has, that cost will be down to about $12. So that's just one example of how we're seeing the improvements in technology and things like Moore's Law, where technology increases at double the price, or double the capability at half the cost. Hard disk space, in fact, is one example of technology that's actually accelerating beyond what Moore's Law is. Also looking at the changing landscape and viewer behavior, the information you're seeing here is based on a study we did internally a couple years ago. And it was really started as a study ostensibly for the PC marketplace, but we came up with some interesting results. We basically segmented the market into three generations, as you see here. The TV generation, which were people born mostly in the 40s and 50s, the PC generation, 60s and 70s, and then the so-called net generation from the late 70s to today. And what we found was that people in these different generations each had pretty different perspectives on some core things. For instance, when we looked at the internet and the web itself and how people thought of the web, the TV generation, for the most part, it was something brand new. They were still really trying to figure out what it is, what it can do for them, and where the value is. Whereas the PC generation definitely saw it as a tool that can help them get things done. They could communicate more efficiently via email. They could get more information, do research more efficiently through websites, etc. Whereas the net generation really saw the internet as something that was just a core part of their life experience, something that they rely on day to day to communicate with others, to get information, to do their schoolwork, etc. When we look at areas of community, and this is closely tied to perspective, the TV generation took a much more personal and local view of community, and their perspective was much more local, focused really around their the city and state they live in. Whereas the PC generation tended to have the concept of community that was extended beyond local, perspective that was more multinational. And the net generation, really boundaries are suddenly gone. You know, community to them is a virtual thing. You don't even, in many cases, people have friends that they've never met face-to-face. You know, friends they've met through chat rooms, or friends they've met through other friends that can be anywhere from next door to around the world. And then when we look at it, things like career and loyalty, TV generation, basically kind of a one career kind of attitude, whereas the PC generation, multiple careers over the course of their lifetime. And the net generation, really reinventing themselves and their careers. And loyalty, as you see here, ranges from corporation to self to soul, to take an Oprah moment for a second. Another interesting perspective is that the net generation compromises, as it says, about 30% of the audience watching TV today. So it's a obviously very important and growing segment of the marketplace with a completely different set of psychographic behaviors that they've evolved into. The other thing we're finding is that the audience is interacting. The net generation does believe in this concept of the web lifestyle, where it's really the web and the internet and the tools that that brings them really become part of their day-to-day life. They'd have a hard time getting by without it. We're seeing for the net generation where passive experiences are supplemented by actionable ones. And we're also finding that TV households really want interactive TV. I'm sure a lot of you saw the recent CTAM study that talked about subscriber interest in interactive TV capabilities, and the results were 80% of digital cable subscribers were interested in ITV, and even 55% of analog customers were interested in ITV. So we know there's an interest level out there. We also know that the audience is fragmenting. If you look at adults during an average week in the U.S., a typical adult views TV about 14 hours, and typical adult is online for about 11 hours. So those numbers are coming very, very close together. We're also seeing that TV viewing for the older generation is trending upwards, but downwards for the younger generation. So we are seeing where online capabilities are offloading some of what used to be TV viewing behavior. And kind of most concerning is that online usage really affects that core audience during prime time. So if you talk to people at our own MSN or AOL or any internet service provider, they'll tell you that the big spikes in usage on their networks is during that prime time hour, and that coincides with that adult 25 to 54 audience. So when we think about, you know, these consumer behaviors are changing, the marketplace is changing, technology has evolved, you know, we still have to answer the question of why should we enhance TV in the first place? And there's a couple of, I think, really good reasons to consider. You know, as TV grows and becomes more interactive, and as there's more and more programming that's available to people that's interactive, it means that advertising and the programming itself can really become a lot more relevant for that consumer. You can have a one-to-one or much deeper relationship with that television viewer than in a pure one-to-many broadcast way. It can also become a lot more effective, where you can target audiences based on behaviors and psychographic and demographic data. And it becomes, of course, monetizable. So you can not only, with a more targeted audience, be paid more for reaching that audience for advertisers, but also increase the types of services and capabilities that you offer in the first place. So it's kind of better return on your investment for the things you're doing already today, plus a whole new set of capabilities and services that you have an opportunity to deliver to your audience as well. And then finally, not necessarily a nice marketing term, but what I call sticky capabilities. And we definitely see this in the PC space. I think there's a lot of analogies we can derive here. But, you know, when you look at applications like chat and email, and as we get into areas of e-commerce over TV or T-commerce, electronic wallets and what have you, those are essentially sticky applications. They're, once you have that customer's email account, once you have their wallet information, for them to switch and churn off to another service is more difficult. It's not just a no-brainer for them. So we're seeing through web TV, in fact, that people tend to spend more time watching interactive programs on web TV and tend to come back more frequently than the typical viewer. This information is from the Industry Standard magazine, where they went out and polled online users. So this is taking a look at people that are online today to see what propensity they would have for ITV. And as you can see here, there's great interest in online users for interactive TV capabilities. I don't know if you can read it all the way in the back. I'll run down the list quickly. But at the high end, 67% of people polled were interested in getting additional news information online. 49% were interested in additional information on the particular show they were watching. 45% said they'd vote in polls or surveys associated with programming. 42% said they'd play along with game shows. 32% were interested in getting additional information during sporting events, so drilling into player statistics and things like that. 25% interested in additional product information, 17% said they'd make purchases through the TV set, and 16% said they'd be interested in chatting with other viewers about what they're watching at that moment. So from the programmer's perspective, there's a lot of nice added value that interactive TV brings. You know, certainly we don't believe that technology is going to replace talent. You know, this will continue to be a hit-driven business, and brand word of mouth about the programming is certainly going to remain a tremendous asset. But we do find this kind of new audience that I call kind of playfully viewers. So thinking of TV viewers and users, because now they're not just a passive group. But viewers can get closer to that experience. A couple examples, as you see here, they can help the Stargate crew while they're on a mission, so really kind of participatory experience, as is playing along with game show, trying to beat the contestant from the home, and sharing, discussing shows that you're watching at the same time through chat rooms or instant messaging or what have you. If you think about it, people have been really chatting about TV shows since the early days. It started with the person next to you, then it kind of moved to the person on the telephone. So in that natural evolution of information sharing, it's logical to incorporate that kind of capability into the TV experience for the consumer that's interested in that. I talked about web TV. We're proud of web TV as not only providing Microsoft a tremendous learning ground for what we feel people, consumers are interested in, what TV can be. But it's also a great source of learning that we can share with all of our partners. So some of the things we've seen from web TV is most definitely that interactive programming does build loyalty. In fact, today there's about 750 hours of interactive programming a week that's available to web TV viewers, including PBS programming, in fact. And some interesting statistics. If in the US, the average household is watching TV about 7.5 hours a day. And what we're seeing with web TV is that number is actually over 8, about 8.1. We've also seen that across all of the interactive programming on the network, about 40% of our viewers will go interactive in any given month. So across the whole base of ITV, of web TV users, 40% will click on an interactive link. For specific shows, we find that 15% of the web TV users watching an interactive show will go interactive over the course of a month. So if you compare that to traditional response rates for TV-based advertising or even web-based advertising, it's significantly higher. And even more importantly, some of the programming that's available today on web TV are things that air once a day, game shows or once a week kind of things. But we also have entire networks that are interactive 7x24. So it's networks like E! Entertainment and The Weather Channel and MSNBC. So anytime you tune into one of those channels with a web TV system, you can go interactive. And we find with those particular types of programming that the response rates, instead of 15% on average per month, it's 25% on average a month. And we see response rates jump as high as 30% for programming that's actually promoted as being interactive as part of the standard promotion through TV for that. So response rates are actually quite good. We also see huge spikes in response rates for things like the Weather Channel. We can get up to 3 times the response on Weather Channel during big snowstorms, for instance. We get similar spikes for things like MSNBC around any kind of big disaster or significant news show. So that really tells us that people are interested in delving deeper into that news story or that weather story than the experience that they get through the broadcast TV. So the bottom line there is that the audience is more engaged, it stays longer, and tunes in more frequently. But when we talk about interactive TV and the value proposition, it's not just about the programming itself. As I talked about a little bit earlier, web content is, or web services is maybe a better ways to better way to phrase this, is also something that's of interest to the ITV audience. Whether it's browsing out to the web to get more information on something that you're watching, or going to various walled garden internet sites that are optimized for delivery through TV, voting and polling, and even chat, email, and buddy list type capabilities. But we also find that one of the things that television viewers are really interested in is much more convenience and control. They really want to watch what they want when they want to watch it. So this whole burgeoning market of digital video recorders is really just fundamentally changing the way consumers watch TV. How many people in the audience here have a TiVo or a Replay or an Ultimate TV box? It's relatively small percentage still. Hopefully you would agree if we were to chat afterwards, but everyone that I talk to that has one of those has said that it just fundamentally changes the way they watch TV. No longer does the West Wing air on Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. That's kind of when it's released, like a feature film, but they can tune in whenever they want because it's stored digitally. I mean, it's recorded digitally. And on services like Ultimate TV, which is happens to be a Microsoft product, the quality of that storage and playback is the exact same as comes off the DirecTV satellite system. There's no degradation as we're storing that on the hard disk of the set-top box. So not only can you watch whenever you want, but you've got a very high-quality experience to do that. So we definitely see a lot of interest in digital video recording and being able to do some of the DVR capabilities on live programming as well. So things like being able to pause live programming when the doorbell rings or the phone rings. Of course, an important audience here is advertisers, at least for many of the broadcasters. And ITV brings some advertiser opportunities as well. They have an ability now to, instead of relying just on reach and frequency metrics to determine the how successful their advertising is, they can really move to a much more focused approach of qualified leads and being able to interact real time with the people you're advertising to. They can also integrate the messaging with the programming. So for things like product placement, they can become really almost more of a co-marketer along with the program developer as opposed to just an advertiser. And they can get very specific in terms of how they target that audience. There's a lot of issues here that I'm not going to talk about today in areas like privacy and things like that. But the fundamental value is that in a world of interactive TV where you can learn a lot about your customer, you can deliver a much more personalized, much more value-added TV experience to that viewer. And at the end of the day, that means that the viewers got a much richer experience, that they enjoy more, and that the program developer and advertisers are much more satisfied as well. So we talked a little bit about the kind of value propositions, but everyone wants to see where the money is, so to speak. Show me the money. There's all kinds of research available from all kinds of different analysts around there. I just picked Forrester, which happens to be one of the better-known companies in the ITV space and technology in general, in fact. And, the basic bottom line here is that pretty much anyone's research you read talks about a pretty tremendous opportunity. You can argue on the exact numbers, but if we use Forrester as a reference, they're predicting that by 2004, so this is not very far off, TV service providers will see over $6.5 billion in incremental subscription revenue. So incremental, obviously, on top of what they're doing today, as well as $2.6 billion in walled garden services revenue. So an ability to deliver for that television viewer access to certain kind of premier sites within their network in the walled garden, so to speak. And even $1.8 billion from interactive programming guides. Another consistency across all the different research is that T-commerce, the opportunity there is huge. In fact, most people predict that T-commerce or e-commerce over TV is actually significantly bigger opportunity than e-commerce is for all the hype that e-commerce has had in the last 5 years or so. By Forrester's estimate, that equates to about $7.8 billion in revenue from interactive video, $9.4 billion from walled garden services, and $300 million from interactive programming guides. I also think we can look to Europe and draw some conclusions from behavior there. First of all, it's important to understand that the European market, even though it's generally acknowledged as ahead of us in areas around interactive TV, it is a different marketplace than the United States. PC penetration and online usage is much lower in Europe than it is in the States, whereas digital TV penetration is significantly higher than we are today. And they also have, in some markets, notably France and the UK, really more experience interacting with, in the case of the UK, a TV through the Teletext service, and in France with the Minitel system. So slightly different marketplace, but we do see some pretty interesting statistics. This is from ING Bearings and Forrester again, where they came up with 50% of digital TV subscribers use services in Europe at least once a week. The second one I thought was particularly interesting. So Woolworths, which is a UK retailer, has a storefront on the BSkyB satellite network in the UK. And that is their third highest ranking store in terms of revenues out of the 800 Woolworths stores in the country. We even see in France, Crédit Agricole, about two-thirds of their customers bank through TV sets. And I just read a statistic not too long ago that talked about Domino's Pizza. You can't really have an ITV conference without having the obligatory pizza ordering example. But the reality is that 3% of pizza pies ordered in the UK today are ordered, through Domino's, I should say, in the UK are ordered through TV. So that's a pretty amazing statistic when you think about it. Another thing you really have to talk about in this space is the whole topic of standards and open standards. Microsoft's a big believer in open standards because we feel that a standard that is truly open and developed in an open way has tremendous benefits for companies like us, for all of the partners that we work with, and ultimately for the consumers, because it means that we'll be able to deliver services more quickly to more people in a more cost-effective way. As you see here, I won't bore you with the acronyms, but we support various different standards all around the world in the different areas related to ITV, from content creation, emission formats, the core ITV environments themselves, and transmission. So not only are we believers in and supporters of open standards, but we're very active in these organizations as well. So we have a whole team of folks in the television group at Microsoft whose sole responsibility is to represent Microsoft and our customers' interests to these various standards bodies that exist. So when we look at the ITV marketplace, there's kind of three fundamental layers to it, if you will. So at the base level is enabling technology. And so this is the fundamental hardware and software that sits in set-top boxes, in some cases in TV devices, and back at the head end. Then this core software, these foundation technologies serve as that foundation on top of which network operators, whether you're a cable company, a satellite company, or a broadcaster, can create interactive services that they ultimately deliver to consumers. Just for clarity's sake, Microsoft participates in two of these levels today. So we have Microsoft TV, which is our software platform. It's middleware for set-top boxes and server software. And also Ultimate TV that hopefully most of you in the room have heard of, which recently launched just back in March. You've hopefully seen the TV advertising around Ultimate TV. So this is a fully integrated interactive TV service that we market in conjunction with DirecTV to consumers today. I didn't want to spend a lot of time on the products itself, but I did want to just make sure people understand kind of how we approach the marketplace and how we differentiate between the two, because I do think there is a lot of confusion about Microsoft TV and Web TV and Ultimate TV and what's what. So clearly, Ultimate TV is the latest iteration of the Web TV service. Web TV is essentially a feature of Ultimate TV, and it's designed to be really a showcase implementation of what TV can be. It's based on this Microsoft TV software, so if you open up a Web TV set-top box, it's actually running our Microsoft TV software in that box. So in the one case, it's a showcase implementation, and on the other hand, it's also a great testing ground for us and all of our partners as we're trying to kind of lead the foray into interactive TV. Microsoft TV is a client and server software platform on top of which network operators, and you'll see some names on the next slide, on top of which they can build their own vision for what TV can be and deliver those services out to consumers. So in the case of Microsoft TV, it's an open platform. We talked about standards a couple slides ago. It's designed for extensibility and integration. So just like one of the things I think Microsoft has done best historically is really work with and build, in the case of DOS and Windows, whole industries around our consumer platforms. We're applying that same basic methodology here so that people can build on top of Microsoft TV through content, through software, code, and other types of value-added services that offer our network operator customers the broadest range of choices and capabilities. There's a lot of confusion, and frankly, I think some press stories that are inaccurate around Microsoft TV, so I wanted to be very clear. Microsoft TV is in deployment today with Rogers in Canada, Canada's largest cable company. TV Cabo, which is the largest network operator in Portugal, is actually rolling out, to my knowledge, the world's first broadband, two-way broadband cable interactive TV service with digital video recording integrated into it. And Ultimate TV, as I mentioned here in the States, is based on Microsoft TV as well. You've also probably heard of relationships that we have with AT&T here in the States and UPC, which is the largest network operator in Europe. And they are actively working on their initial deployments of their Microsoft TV-based service. I can't give you specific dates for when they're going to launch because that's really up to them, but they have said that they both of these customers expect to begin their deployments this year. So collectively, Microsoft TV today has commitments from network operators around the world that represent 15 million set-top boxes that will run our software. And we took a very deliberate approach in how we reached out to the marketplace initially. We wanted to focus on a small number of very large operators as a way of really proving that this marketplace does exist. You know, most people in this room, I'm sure, have been hearing about interactive TV for 7 or 8 years now, and we felt it was important to be able to bring to people like yourselves in the larger TV community this, you know, basic base of 15 million set-tops to start to prove that there is an opportunity and that the time really is ripe to start making your own investments in ITV technology and programming. Ultimate TV, again, is available now for DirecTV subscribers, and it's really all about delivering the best entertainment experience. As I mentioned, web TV is a feature of it, so you can still browse the web and do email and all those fun things that you've been able to do for the last 6 years on web TV. But Ultimate TV is really about delivering a very rich, very personal TV experience. It has a couple groundbreaking capabilities. Its digital video recorder is the only one on the marketplace today that has two tuners. So you can actually watch one show and record another at the same time. You can record two shows at once. It's, in fact, the first satellite picture-in-a-picture system, even if you're not digitally recording. As I mentioned, this just started shipping in March to really pretty good acclaim. And then what I wanted to leave you with is, I know we're all here talking about TV, but keep in mind, too, that the opportunity here is really more than just TV. You know, in a world of convergence and people delivering information to and receiving information on multiple devices, it's really important to think about the opportunity beyond just that television set. So whether it's new types of entertainment information consumers will be able to take advantage of through things like streaming media, online music sites, et cetera, and output to various devices like you see here, from MP3 players to pocket PCs to traditional television sets. It's really important, I think, to think about the opportunity beyond the TV and as you're trying to define your visions for really what TV can be. So with that, I thought I'd give you a quick glimpse at the future as it could evolve in the not too distant future.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Hey, hon.
Yeah?
You know, we could save some money if we fly out on Friday afternoon instead of Saturday.
Okay, let's check the calendar.
Okay.
Oh, I hope Jenna will be into this.
You know, maybe she could take some video at the zoo for that rainforest project she's got going on at school.
You're good. I'm going to do something about my parents' anniversary.
Hmm. Well, why don't we invite them out to dinner? You know, they can meet up with us pretty easy.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. That place we visited last time should be right here.
Good morning. Thank you for calling Hawthorne's. How can I help you this morning?
Yes, we were wondering about reservations for Sunday, March 9th, for six people around 7 o'clock.
Six, seven on the 9th. What's that? Anything else I can help you with?
Oh, no, thank you. Okay, finish up by yourself.
Okay, honey.
Going to LA for spring break.
Cool, let me see. This looks cool.
Did I say you could play that?
What's this?
That sounds wonderful.
I was wondering what she was going to remember.
Yes, here we go. Hey folks, welcome to the zoo.
Thank you.
Any questions? Need a map?
No, thanks. Sean here is
going to be our navigator.
Take care of it.
Yeah.
Right up.
I got it.
Have a good day.
The chimps are being fed right now.
I've got an idea. Won't we split up and Sean and I will go see the chimpanzees?
Thanks, Doug.
Okay, and Mom and I can go see the Amazon butterfly exhibit.
Yeah, and then you just pass us when you want to meet up.
Okay. You guys are going that way and we're going this way. Okay?
Okay.
All right,
bye.
See ya.
Mm-hmm. You know, that makes sense. Well, it says here that they share 98% of their genetic material with humans. It's beeping. What is
beeping.
That?
Beeping. Oh. Hey, Freddy's here. Wow.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, what's up, Freddy?
When did you guys get here?
Hey, listen, ask him if he wants to join up with us later.
Hey, Freddy, you want to meet up with us later at the hippo exhibit? I don't know, around 1?
Cool. I'll ask my dad. It should be fine.
Cool. See ya.
By day, honk.
Oh, look at that. A day at the zoo. That's pretty with the flamingos.
Yeah,
shall I
that is pretty. Yeah.
Why don't we put it over here?
Okay.
That's cute. Yeah, I think that's good.
And so that's the end of my talk. Thank you very much.